welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, creating a successful business in enterprise WordPress and working to foster the WordPress community. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Rahul Bansal. Rahul is the founder and CEO of RT Camp, a large agency that specializes in enterprise-grade WordPress projects. He began his journey quite differently, starting as an individual blogger back in 2006, discovering WordPress in 2007, and gradually transitioning from being a publisher to a freelance developer, before founding RT Camp in 2009. Today, RT Camp is an enterprise-grade WordPress consultancy agency, operating globally and trusted by clients such as Google, Meta, Automattic, News UK, and Al Jazeera. Rahul sheds his light on working with enterprise clients in the WordPress space. Many of us are familiar with WordPress in the context of small businesses and blogging, but the enterprise space demands additional layers of security and scalability. Rahul explains the factors that set enterprise projects apart, and why meticulous code reviews and security audits are essential when working at this level. He talks about the opportunities in the enterprise space, recounting how RT Camp initially stumbled into enterprise-level projects, not even realizing their potential until a client's high expectations led to a decision to market themselves as an enterprise agency. We also discuss the role of WordPress in enterprise environments, from why Gutenberg has become a credible selling point due to its powerful editing capabilities, to how the platform's flexibility supports varied enterprise needs. Rahul also gets into the importance of positioning, how historical context offers advantages, and the expanding market that makes WordPress a compelling choice for large clients today. Towards the end, we explore RT Camp's innovative intern program aimed at growing the WordPress talent pool, and the way they're contributing back to the WordPress project, a win-win for the business and the broader community. If you've ever considered what it takes to work with WordPress at the enterprise level, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Rahul Bansal. I am joined on the podcast today by Rahul Bansal. Hello.
Hello.
It is very nice to have you on the podcast today. We're going to talk about the enterprise, which I confess is something that I only really know about because people talk about it. I've never worked in the enterprise. I've never worked with enterprise clients. So Rahul is here. He's very much in the enterprise, as you're about to find out, and he's going to educate me all about that. So Rahul, I wonder if you wouldn't mind, just for a minute or 2 minutes, just tell us who you are, what you do in the WordPress space, where you work, your position there, and so on. A little potted bio.
Currently, I'm founder and CEO of RT Camp, which is a large agency specifically dealing in enterprise-grade WordPress projects. I started quite differently. Like, I started as an individual blogger back in 2006. In 2007, I found WordPress. I started developing with WordPress in 2007. And slowly from being a publisher, I become freelance developer. And then around 2009, RT Camp started. So I've been with RT Camp for the last 16 years.
That's been quite a journey. I see the name RT Camp everywhere. And we should just say, so it's spelt lowercase r, lowercase t, and then camp with a capital C, A-M-P. Go and Google that and have a look at what the team over there are doing. How big has the team grown to? How many employees, staff do you have over there now?
So currently we are 230 people all spread over.
That is truly an enormous agency. So bravo for growing that. That's really incredible. The first question that I want to ask though is, when does normal WordPress become enterprise WordPress? At what point do we cross the Rubicon where a site is, I don't know, big enough, or your agency is working with a different type of client? Can you define what you think that means? And I'm sure that if you're on the cusp of being an enterprise agency, this is something that, you know, may be slightly confusing.
Firstly, there is no formal definition to that. Many agencies believe they're serving enterprise space when they're not. Some people are actually serving enterprise space, but they don't realize it. So in my opinion, it's where the requirement changes a lot. Like, for example, if you're building a small WordPress site, which I don't consider as an enterprise site, we will be tempted to pick first theme and plugin that matches our need. Like, if it works, if it gets the job done, that's it. But then in enterprise space, there is a lot of security and scalability concerns. And these two concerns are very big. Something might be working all right, but then when you look at the code, you realize that there will going to be a security issues, or there could be scalability issues. Many times indie developers, when they design small WordPress plugins, they don't have data or big enough site to test it on a large installation. So those things are not tested on really high traffic website. So enterprise can mean really high traffic website with a lot of scalability requirement. On the other hand, the traffic can be less, but the security requirement can be enormous. Consider the White House website. It was on the WordPress with the previous administration, and it's again on the WordPress with the new administration. So in both cases, I don't think White House, like a website, we can classify as a very high traffic website, but it is a very sensitive website. It would be a lot embarrassing if that site gets hacked. So every piece of code that goes into White House website, whichever agency is working on it, will be thoroughly checked for security attack, for audit, for all the compliances. And this additional efforts is what makes it enterprisey, in my opinion.
Okay, so it's not necessarily the size of the client or the fame, for want of a better word, of the client. It's more about the kind of work that you're doing in the background. So custom code largely, because you simply at that scale cannot have something off the shelf.
So we can have things off the shelf. The thing is, you cannot just take it and use it. You still have to own it, in that sense. Like for our clients also, we go and use many things from WordPress plugin directory. But then when we put it on this website, it is kind of like signed by us. So it's like we have to verify, even if it is not coded by us, we have to verify line by line that it is following best coding practices. Database queries will scale with high traffic if it is a high traffic website. There are many checks and balances in place. So no matter if you are doing in-house, like as a custom coding, or we are buying a premium plugin or using a free plugin, everything has to go through certain checks. And those checks are very expensive to do, because that's a human labor. You have to literally go through things line by line. And in many cases, you have to put extra efforts to make it scalable with their existing system, because usually a large enterprise won't use just a website in silos. It will be part of multiple system, like authentication system, where if an employee joins a large organization, based on some rule, they might get automatic access to their website. Likewise, if they leave organization, their access should be automatically revoked. Or they have some CRM integrations, data integrations, some kind of asset, like digital asset management solution integration. So all these has to be connected, and this all need to work together. So a lot of effort goes in doing these extra things, which are either don't exist for small websites. So enterprise website that I'm talking about, this can be really unknown website. We have a client which is basically a government public sovereign fund. Common people don't even know about them, but they basically own pretty much all the big companies we know. Like, they have stake in all the big companies. Their asset is something like $400 billion asset under management. Most people don't even know that company. But then it's very sensitive, because that money they're managing is public money. It's not like VC fund. It's actually state reserve. Now, seriousness we need to demonstrate in the security is very high, because if something gets hacked or somebody uploads wrong investor report or something like portfolio report, it can have a lot of consequences.
It kind of sounds to me as if the assurance that you're giving an enterprise client is basically that what we've built is, as far as we can tell, it's bulletproof. We've gone through it line by line. We may have custom coded bits and pieces, but certainly the bits that we didn't custom code, we are totally guaranteeing that this is going to be robust. And also, it sounds a bit like if a client at an enterprise level approaches you and they say, can you do this? Your answer is yes. Basically, yes, we can do it. We can do it with WordPress. There may be a cost, but we can do it. There's almost no scenario where a client would come to you and say, can you do this? Forget the money. Can you do it? The answer's never no. The answer's always going to be, yeah, we'll figure it out.
So that's the thing, like if the budget has no limit, then there is no limit on technology. Most often, like even we are an enterprise agency, WordPress has this large spectrum. So we end up with a lot of low quality lead where somebody knocks on enterprise agency's door and they really have budget constraint. They really want something really good out of the box, but they don't want to pay for it, or they don't want to pay as high as it would require to deliver that kind of solution. For some enterprises, budget is no limit, but then we try to be mindful of resources. For example, many enterprise agencies, including us, if you go to their GitHub account, they would have list of published themes and plugins. But most commonly plugins, themes rarely are used off the shelf. So we build these plugins to ensure that the cost of rebuild project is less. Like if we have to deliver another project, we try our best that we reuse as much as possible. And that's the open source spirit that entire WordPress community follows. We use many times solutions that are already put in open source by our competing agencies. They also use our solution. So that's where the enterprise solution with WordPress is also affordable. The right enterprise client that we target usually have higher budget than we would need to develop, because we are competing against Adobe Experience Managers, which are very expensive, super expensive. And when I say super expensive, I'm just talking about licensing fees. Before you hire AEM agency to write custom code for you, you have already paid a lot of money just for the right to use the software. With WordPress, that right to use costs zero. And then all the nice agencies in WordPress space, big, small, no matter what size they are, try their best to reuse existing solutions to bring the cost down. So enterprise WordPress relatively costs less than other enterprise CMS, but then it certainly costs a lot than building a small website. Like you cannot go to an enterprise agency and expect in $500 your site to be built perfectly, because the requirement gathering phase, like talking to all stakeholders and understanding all the solutions they use in-house, can take like many days.
So you may have answered this question just now with what you've just said. I feel that you've definitely gone into this territory, but it sounds like there's a lot of line by line checking of everything. So for example, if you use a plugin off the repo, you're going to go through that one line at a time. And you said this can be an expensive process. You've also said that obviously there's benefits of using WordPress because you can take things that other people have used and so on. But I guess at some point, there's got to be some sort of tipping point where you think, okay, WordPress is going to be good for this project, but it might not be good for that project. Is it always WordPress for you? Do you always lean into WordPress? Or does there come a point where you say, do you know what, with the custom things that this particular client wants and what have you, let's just build the thing ourselves. Let's not rely on the CMS. Or do you always lean in on WordPress?
Maybe it's nature of our positioning that we rarely get things that we cannot do in WordPress. So we always do things in WordPress. The boundary varies with how much of the shelf WordPress we will use and how much custom we will use. In one of the projects I remember, there was a specific data crunching process that we needed to build. And we felt that it will be better if it is built as a microservice and run independently. So we built that in Python, but then it was talking to WordPress REST API. So that freedom we have from client, for example, like that microservice was never visible to any of the client's editorial team. Everything they were doing, their only interface was WP admin. There was no second login or no second interface to them. It was just something was running on some server and magically data was going inside and outside WordPress. And that's the power of WordPress. It has so many APIs to communicate with outside world, like REST API, GraphQL, and even from the traditional days XML RPC, that WordPress can coexist with other systems very nicely. And that's where we never face that, hey, can we do this on WordPress or not? It's like, can we do everything on WordPress or do we need to put some minor things outside WordPress? And those decisions are not the engineering limitation, like that microservice, we could have put it in WordPress also, but we felt that its architecture was more suited for an independent microservice. That was the right call. It turned out to be the right call much later, that microservice grew independently.
If we rewind the clock to the beginning, when you were just beginning with WordPress and beginning the agency that ended up being RT Camp with your 230-odd employees, did you intend for what's happened to happen? Did you always know that you wanted to grow something to the point where it became, air quotes, enterprise with many, many employees? Or did it just evolve over time unexpectedly?
Yeah, it all happened unexpectedly. Like, I started as a professional blogger. I used to make money from advertising, affiliate marketing. So it's like I wasn't doing anything remotely related to agencies. So one thing led to another, and then I started freelancing. Then even after freelancing, when I started RTCamp as an agency, because I was coming from blogosphere, most of my initial clients were bloggers, like independent bloggers. Somebody wanted a theme, somebody wanted a plugin, somebody wanted a sidebar widget. Sidebar widgets used to be a lot more popular in those early days of blogging. Like people used to have MySpace-like experience on the web, like lots of widgets, email subscription form, this pop-up. So in fact, the first enterprise client that walked into our door, that's why I said like many agencies don't even realize when they mingle with enterprise space. I kind of felt very irritated because they asked so many questions. They got our reference from LinkedIn. We had zero, we were not even using enterprise word anywhere in our branding, marketing, anywhere at all. But back in 2010, also, we made a good name for ourselves. So anybody who shouted, hey, any WordPress references, our name used to pop up on social media. So we got that. And they sent us a very large procurement checklist, which we never heard of. All of our projects were like email exchange, 2-3 emails, money via PayPal, and emails used to be contract. Like whatever you committed on email is the contract. And suddenly there come like this long PDF Excel sheets with checkboxes. Do you have a data storage policy, this policy, that policy? If we end up filling this, we are not going to make any profit with this project. So then one of my teammates said, like, let's price in that. Let's price in and see if they can afford it. So we literally added another zero to our pricing, literally like 5 times, 10 times. And they said, like, hey, this is our minimum. Do you want to go ahead? I said, sure, like, this is peanuts. And they were worried, like, do you understand the project? You're quoting very less. Your starting point is way less than our internal budget. So they came to our office. They were based in India. Luckily, they were in the same city. They came to our office to audit us physically. They put like remarks like, you don't have fingerprint scanner in your biometric sensors in your office entry. There is no employee log. We are not storing any of your data. So this office is not the building where your data will reside. Your data will reside on AWS or all those cloud servers. And then they got convinced. WordPress was very small then, and we were the only known agencies which was fully committed to WordPress at that point. So they didn't have choice 2 or 3. So they kind of crossed the fingers and gave us that project. It took 6 months to close. I was very pessimistic. It's only after 2-3 years we realized that they become our largest client by a huge margin. All my blogger friend put one side and this single client one side. And that revenue was growing very nicely year on year. Renewals, they had this retainers. Every year they were renewing without asking questions. So I realized that it's very hard to win these big clients. But once you are in, it becomes very smooth journey, hence power, like after that point. And then I think 2014 around, after 2-3 years data, when I saw that this client was consistently for last 3 years in row our biggest client. Zero sales effort, zero account issues, no negotiation on pricing, and everything was smooth. So then I thought like we should go into some enterprise space. And luckily around that time, I had a call with Chris Lema. Chris Lema used to available for consulting calls on Clarity. I'm not sure if that's still around. And I still remember it was exact 33 minutes that I talked to Chris. He repositioned RTCamp. In 33 minutes, he gave me some amazing breakthrough idea. And after that call, first time we told ourselves, we are enterprise WordPress agency from today. Until 2014, we were not identifying ourselves or branding ourselves as an enterprise WordPress agency. That moment was the first time when we put in bold letters on our homepage, in SEO meta, everywhere we added, we are enterprise WordPress.
Can you remember that moment? So if you cast your mind back when you added the zero and sent it, and there was obviously some suspicion in your mind that nothing's going to come of this or what have you. Can you remember the feeling? So it's an odd question because I'm asking you about your feelings, but can you remember the feeling when they came back and said, oh, yeah, this is not as expensive as we'd imagined? That really must have opened up an entirely new world for you.
Yeah. So firstly, it was very unexpected because we were selling like WordPress project for $100, $50, $500. The biggest was $1,000. We still remember we built a complete BuddyPress plugin for $900. And we were like so happy when that client sent us $100 tip. He rounded up to $1,000 and we were partying like with that extra $100. We throw a party to our team and suddenly this client comes and they said like $5,000 is okay. Are you kidding me? Because they sent so much data, I didn't want to fill in. So I just thought, let's just give them a number and they will walk away. We will not appear as a company who didn't want to fulfill their data request. I thought, I will give them a reason to walk away. But then it didn't work out. Initially, I was still skeptical because they really demanded too much data. Just imagine, we were like some 20 people agency at that time. And we spent 3 to 6 months in back and forth sales call. We didn't have a typical sales team at that point, writing those long answers. We were not even understanding questions. The problem was not that we didn't want to give data or we didn't take security seriously. There were things that we never heard of. It was all like foreign language to us. What are they asking? Why they want to do that? I was not expecting lifetime revenue. That concept was not in our books then. So it was project, money in, money out, end of email, site goes live. Then the recurring revenue is hosting companies. We were not into selling maintenance contract. So this was a project kind of thinking, like the big economy mindset. So even with 5,000, I thought like the amount of effort they're putting us, we won't be left with any decent margin after this project. And that was a true case. For first year, there was not much margin left because they had put us through a lot of work to fulfill the project. And then we realized we underquoted after that also, because when the data, we had to talk to their Microsoft vendor. They were using Microsoft SharePoint. There were many rough edges that we had no idea could happen to us. In year one, they were the highest revenue, but project was in loss. It's only year two, three, it was very good profit. And then we have this strategy that we call now land and expand. Land big accounts, no matter whatever price point you want to do, go aggressive. And then once you are in, then you spread within the organization.
Oh, that's an interesting insight. So land and expand, land the client, the big fish, if you like, with the knowledge that if you maintain the relationship over many years, the profit can build up, not necessarily year one, but maybe a bit in year two and year three and year four, it's beginning to mature. And it sounds like such an interesting story. And again, I'm going to rewind back to before 2014. So before you added enterprise to your website and what have you. Do you think if you had begun your journey today, that you would have the same capability to expand in the same way? Because it feels like there are now quite a few players. Perhaps when you began, that was less of the case. You were competing in a much less crowded marketplace, but it feels like everybody's intent now is to become an agency which can call itself enterprise. And I'm imagining that you got your foot in the door at a really nice time where you became a name that everybody could trust and the recommendations come in because of prior work. But maybe that would be more difficult now.
The market is much bigger now. In fact, just imagine WordPress market share. When we were building first initial website, there was not even custom post types that were present in WordPress. So all the WordPress plugins, we used to do a lot of hacks. There was not standardization. So a lot of things happened with WordPress as a platform. WordPress evolved. The market share has become so big. It's easier to sell. We have so many samples right from White House to large publishers. And globally, it's not like just the American companies are using WordPress. India's second largest publisher also uses WordPress. So does Al Jazeera in Qatar. So there are many big websites all over the world. So it makes WordPress easy to sell. The market is big. There is a precedence where you can pitch somebody, this is WordPress used by so-and-so. I believe that no matter which lead you are dealing with, so if you have a lead from a certain industry, a certain geography, you will find a WordPress success story in their geography. You will find WordPress being used by your prospects' competition. That makes it easier to sell WordPress. So yeah, the competition is more because opportunity is bigger. The pie is a lot bigger. Otherwise, we would have stuck to the same size. Every year, we are adding more people because we are able to get more work for them, even with this new agencies coming up. In fact, it's easier to build WordPress agency or any kind of enterprise-grade agency now because the recipe is quite clear. Because you can look at how other agencies are doing and you can take some lessons from them. At that time, we had no idea. Like, in fact, we didn't have the idea that we should position ourselves as an enterprise grade agency. That was call with Chris. Before that call, we had no idea that we should be labeling ourselves as an enterprise grade agency.
If clients approach you, and it sounds like this may not be the case, it feels like people are approaching you because you build WordPress, not inquiring whether or not you would do a WordPress project for them. What are the one or two bits that you always bring out when a client says, well, why would we go with WordPress? What are the one or two top line items which you think, okay, if we're going to build you a website, we're going to choose WordPress, and here's the best reasons at enterprise. So we're not talking about a mom and pop store that it really doesn't matter if it goes down a bit. What are the one or two things which you bring out when an enterprise client wants to know why WordPress?
First, we want to reassure them that WordPress is the right platform. So this is the difference between a product company and agency. A product has a landing page, which is more similar. It caters to a lot of people. But agency pitch is tailored for every client, every prospect. So our first goal is to find competition. So which are the competitors for this particular client, prospective client? And see if you're using WordPress. If your competition is using WordPress, you will feel a lot more comfortable going after it because nobody wants to be first, especially in large enterprises. Another way we define enterprise is that when you are not buying from out of your pocket. In a large organization, your job is not to save the money or find cheaper solution. Your job is to deliver result so that it can go very nicely in your annual review report. I still believe people, especially in enterprise, are looking for safety as a first, because they know that they have budget to build anything under the sun. So usually we say less like WordPress can do this, WordPress can do that, because for everything that WordPress or any platform doesn't do out of the box, they have budget. What they need to know is that it's secure, it's safe, it will scale well. And if some government approaches us, so we show that public sovereign fund that they're managing, so that client has a special permission with us, like we cannot refer them publicly, that government agency, but we can refer them to other government agencies in private conversations. So that is how we convince, like, okay, this is similar people to you who are using WordPress. And I think safety is still the first thing that people are looking for, because it's not even WordPress. It starts with open source. There is something, somebody did some marketing where people believe or have this misconception that open source will be easy to hack, because you can see the code, you can easily hack. That is our first step. If client mentions it explicitly, we go all in. Even if client doesn't mention it, if the prospect says that we are looking for retaining interest, we still verify. Are you sure that you're sorted on WordPress being safe? Any concerns, any doubts? And then features, because WordPress has no match. And I'm not saying this as a WordPress agency. The Gutenberg editor itself alone is miles apart. If you go to any other platform, their editing capabilities are nowhere close to Gutenberg editor. Gutenberg editor demo itself is a deal breaker in many cases. We just show them Gutenberg editor and they like, wow, is this possible? Is this thing real? Is this some mock-up? No, this is website. After the call, we are going to send you a URL. Go and try your hands on. This is no fake, that vaporware demo where you see something on my screen, but in reality, it doesn't work like that. This is the real website. Go and try it.
That's really interesting, because in the non-enterprise, that message hasn't necessarily landed. Gutenberg is, it's a very divisive issue, isn't it? Whether you use it or not. And it's curious that you are saying that it's one of the key things which leads to the success. Can you just dig into that a little bit? What are some of the aspects of Gutenberg which make the clients think, okay, this is great, this is perfect, this is just what we need? What are some of the features that you draw out of the block editor?
So I think the main difference that we feel like compared to the consumer WordPress, I would say, the consumer WordPress access technologies on very different platform, like proprietary. Just imagine somebody is using Instagram to create reels. With that mindset, they come to WordPress Media Library and expect video editing experience like that to happen in WordPress. They will be disappointed. But here we are talking to people in large companies, very large companies, using legacy systems, probably from 90s, they might have a desktop application to update a web page, some ugly looking forms. We even have a memory where a client, their publishing workflow, they had to write an article using a very poorly designed HTML web form, and they had to upload images via FTP. And then they had to reference images in document. There was no drag and drop interface. So now if somebody like this person comes to Gutenberg, it's like a iPhone moment for them. But that being said, Gutenberg itself is a very powerful editor. We haven't come across a case where somebody said, oh, this is not flexible. As I said, like, enterprise have a very good balance around feature versus maintenance. For example, so Gutenberg may have one or two features less compared to a third-party page builder. But then being part of core, they are assured that 5 years down the lane, it will be very well maintained. Security is more important to them, because one less plugin means one less attack vector, less things to break, less thing to train, less thing to maintain going forward. We as an agency develop so many sites on Gutenberg that we have our own libraries and our own patterns. So it's like whenever a requirement comes, we can easily map it to Gutenberg.
I think that's the difficult thing to imagine if you've never built your own block or you've never delved into patterns. But certainly at the enterprise level, if a client comes to you and said, we have this repeatable thing and we need to put this repeatable thing on a page every time. And honestly, it's a real chore. And you can build a block and they drop the block in and now they just fill out some fields, drag an image in here, and suddenly, boom, it's exactly on the front end what they were expecting. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's that almost like an app inside of an editor. So we've got a block which consumes perfectly the content that you want, and we can adapt it if your needs change. But if you've never really gotten into that, it's hard to imagine. It's just a bunch of paragraphs and images, but it's not. It's so much more powerful than that.
One thing I would say, that if you look at any large corporation, they have something called design systems where they have their brand guidelines across products, not just websites, like across mediums like print and everywhere. With Gutenberg, it is very intuitive and easy to map the design system into WordPress. So that is where Gutenberg shines, that you can create patterns, you can create theme JSON, you can give them a starting point which blends very well with their existing design system. That is where half of the job gets done. Like compared to indie hackers or small businesses, large enterprises are not running after lots of plugins. They don't want to try 100 plus blocks plugin, a plugin with 200 blocks. They want to restrict number of choices. They want to have less number of blocks, but properly weighted with the user's guidelines. So it's like the freedom they demand is easily given by Gutenberg, and with the assurance of it is going to be around long term, it will be very well maintained, it will be very well supported, and performance. I still feel Gutenberg has much better performance. The markup, SEO quality is top notch.
I think it's just the constraints that you can put around that editing experience. So if the client comes and they want this inexperienced user to be able to create content, but have boundaries so they can, I don't know, they can add an image here and it will be, it doesn't matter. They just put it in and it will output perfectly. And here's where the text goes, but they can't change the fonts. You're not allowed to change the color and what have you. All of those kind of constraints around the editing experience. It's just miraculous, really, what's possible. And I think it gets lost because the majority of people, I'm imagining, using WordPress are sort of tinkering with core blocks and it can become confusing. There's lots of choices. You try one thing and it doesn't work out and you throw your hands in the air. But if you've built the perfect thing, then all of those guardrails are in place and it will output the perfect thing every time. I think that's really interesting. How do you grow and how do you find your next employees? Because I'm guessing at the level that you're now at, you must have some fairly exacting specifications when you put out a job description. And WordPress is becoming an increasingly JavaScript-based thing, a lot more technical difficulties. Where do you find your talent and is it becoming harder to find?
This would be unique to literally us. We have what we call our own training center, where every year we take some 50 students from college who recently graduated. Every 6 months, we take 25 to 30 students from colleges. We put them through 6 months of training, like a complete. They get paid to learn WordPress for 6 months. They have no obligation to continue with us. They can join our competition. They can do anything with the WordPress. But we really get this talent. And this job is very popular in India. So this training we run, the pay scales are very popular in India. So last year also, we had some 90,000 applications for 60 positions. We literally have to build a platform. So we have a campus hiring platform. Its name is Chitra Gupta. Chitra Gupta is basically responsible for managing the ledger of your good and bad work. So in Hindu mythology. So we build a Chitra Gupta, which basically scans your GitHub repos and assigns your grade, and those 90,000 people gets graded, and then we interview from top to bottom until 60 positions gets filled. So last time we had to interview some 1,200 students. By the time 60 students got selected, then we put them through the 6 month training. Our course is public, so people know what is going to be in the course, and so we find a lot of passionate people. Many times by the time they join our course, I've already gone through it from the public website that we have, learn.rtkm.com. From there, they already have checked it. And then we put them through this 6 month training. After that, this thing we started this year only. After 6 month training, we put them 6 months into the WordPress. So WordPress Core has a mentorship program running on for new contributors. So this year we enrolled 10 people managed by Automatic and Google employees, senior employees. So they are mentoring these people further. So first year we invest them heavily, zero revenue, only investment in year one. And then from year two, we start getting like some client work done from them. And this is something turned out to be very great for us from last 3 years. At some point, we felt there are same number of people switching between agencies, and net new addition to the WordPress worker pool was getting stagnant, especially around COVID. I felt the way people used to discover life with WordPress or a professional life with WordPress was mostly through WordCamps or meetup groups. And when that COVID happened, we suddenly missed those years when new people didn't come to the WordPress, as many as they used to come before. So there was a gap that started hurting large agencies like us. Because if we look at a small website, then the enterprise budget appears a lot. But there's always a limit. No company approves unlimited budget for any venture. Like for every project, there is a budget. It's usually large enough, but there's always a number. And as talent was getting more expensive, WordPress was getting unaffordable at some point. So I talked to some medium-sized publishers, not the big ones, who complain a lot, like the good WordPress agencies are either sold out or too expensive. It's like WordPress are suddenly getting unaffordable. And that is when we started in this hiring experiment. where we onboarded people every year. And this is what we are doing from last 4 years. So we have been hiring for many years, but earlier it was 5-10 people. This massive scale of hiring, we started from last 3 to 4 years, and it turned out very well for us. Like, all these people in second year clocked, like, in agencies, billable hours is a very big metric. And in second year, these people clocked 90%, more than 90% billable hours.
That's incredible. What a great idea. Can I just ask, just to clarify with that, is that an in-person thing? So you come to a place where 60 people gather and the tuition is taking place in the same room, or is it an online thing? Or
so before COVID, it used to be in the same room, but the scale was 20 people at that time only. After COVID, we made it completely remote. It's now completely remote. It's still in the same time zone because these are the Zoom calls, recordings. The time zone synchronization is needed. So that's why it's currently India only. But we are expanding it to other territories, and we're seeing like if we can create similar talent pool in other part of the world. Because earlier it was in office, then it went remote over Zoom. And this year it is going async. We have a dedicated department, which is called Learning and Development Department. So our L&D head has implemented most lessons in async way so that people can wake up at different time, and so it's like they won't get blocked. They can learn asynchronously. They can complete this 6-month course asynchronously.
It just sounds like the appetite is incredible. The numbers that you just mentioned there, I think you said something like 1,200 or something like that, people for 90 places. That's just remarkable. So the appetite really is there. It seems like such a commendable project as well, in that you are putting out a limited, you know, what you can manage, 60 people out into the workplace. Some of them may end up working with you. Some may end up working with your competitors. But you've put 60 people out there who are really credible at pushing the boundaries of what WordPress can do and hopefully just making a start on their career.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not just limited to that. And I would like to get into this just before we finish, because I think this is important. Over the last few years, we see these metrics every year of companies who put time into the WordPress project in general in all manner of different ways. You know, they may be sponsoring events, they may be committing staff to Five for the Future and what have you. And the company, your company, RTCamp, it always seems to be right at the forefront of that in a growing way. I'd just like to applaud you for that and give you an opportunity to say what it is that you do so that we've got an impression of just how much good you're doing, apart from obviously having a very profitable agency and what have you, how much good you're putting back into the community as well. So just outline your commitments to the WordPress project.
So as I mentioned that, so we have multiple ways of contributing. So as we hire a lot of from college, unfortunately, we cannot have a lot of core committers with us, but we take care of the other end. For example, this 10 people, we have a commitment now internally that every 6 months, so we will put 10 people full-time, like full-time, as in literally full-time, 100% of their time will go in working on WordPress project for 6 months. And then this will be rotated by next batch. So in rotation, there will be at least 10 people. As we grow further, then we will make it 15, 20. And we want to keep this ramping up this number. So there will be always, WordPress core will have enough junior people to pick the task. So that good first issues, somebody will be looking at them. Then we have a QA people who are contributing to the QA team, other teams. I myself was WordCamp organizer for WordCamp Asia. We have other people contributing to a different part of WordPress. We have a training course which is public domain. We started that much before learn.wordpress.org is there. Now learn.wordpress.org is there. It is much better resource. But then this course was there for many years and many other agencies use it. So that is one of the way to build human capital. So this word actually drives me a lot. We want to consciously put our efforts in developing human capital of WordPress, because in the end, it's people that do the job. No matter how fancy AI is, you need a human to put a prompt to the AI. ChatGPT won't build things on its own. You need a human to ask creative questions. And we want to ensure that WordPress economy continues to grow and it never falls short of people. So we hire a lot of junior people. We put into the WordPress. We publish our videos, tutorial. We publish our training material also in the public domain. Many companies use it. And we expect no link back, also no credit, because sometimes they have apprehension that if they know this is by RTCamp course, for example, our training course site doesn't require registration. So if you're sending your employees to learn WordPress on our site, we won't track them. We won't solicit them. We have no way of knowing who is learning. Google Analytics just shows traffic. A lot of traffic is coming to those training sites, but we have no personally identifiable information tagged there.
I would imagine that in every aspect of your business, except this, maybe, there's got to be some measurable ROI, you know. So, okay, we put this in, we get this out. Do you have any metrics to measure your commitment to the community? Or is it just putting your finger in the air and thinking, okay, last year our business did this, let's put, I don't know, whatever it might be. Do you have a pro forma that you stick to, a number of hours, a number of people? Or is it just, yeah, this feels right this year? Because you can't measure this. And in some cases, I imagine people would think, yeah, they're probably overdoing it a little bit over there and what have you.
So we have a top line mandate that, so it's like internally we divide engineers in three categories in RTKM. The junior ones who are like less than 2 years in RTKM, the senior ones like 2 to 5 years, and lead levels who are like more than 5 years with us. The junior one, we target 20% of their time for WordPress core. And the medium level, the senior 10%, and lead level is 5%. Lead level is very hard because we have very less lead engineers. The demand supply gap is more evident on senior and lead level. But then these metrics are, so our org structure is that we have something called business units. So every BU need to submit their 20% report. Not only they need to submit the hours report, like they have their hours went into the WordPress core or different part. They have to compile what are the issues they solved. It's not like you're just making time entries. You have to tell in the leadership quarterly review that I have 50 people in my business units and together they clock 3,000 hours and this is what we achieved in 3,000 hours and this is approved. The props messages we see in WordPress, like those screenshots, if our employee names is mentioned, are taken screenshots and filed into those review reports. Three people got props from my team and the WordPress core release notes, like with major releases. So those contributor list also presented by them. If somebody's doing some make WordPress blog post or activity, those are also tracked by them. So BU heads compile this report from like bottom ups and then present in leadership meeting. So this is not accidental. Like the material ROI is very hard to measure. We cannot say that, oh, we made like X dollars because of this effort. I think as a salesperson, when I tell a client like, hey, I'm going to give you an engineer who knows WordPress very well, I'm more confident if that person has contributed 6 months to the WordPress core and their patches is vetted by some amazing people in WordPress community, especially senior ones. It's like a win-win situation for all. Like, this gives me a very, very well-trained people to sell.
That's exactly how I was just thinking about it. This kind of win-win cycle of you put people into WordPress and obviously at a junior level, more time. I can understand that. That makes sense. Presumably the ones who are more experienced, they've got other work to be doing, but also they've probably gained a ton of experience doing those prior years of extra hours. So you put the hours in, but also they contribute to core, but they get experience back out. They'll be exposed to all sorts of different things that your project would never have put them in front of, presumably. So they'll be touching on subject matters, getting into plugins, themes, blocks, code, core, whatever it may be, in a whole range of different ways than they would be. So like you say, it's like you slap my back, I'll slap yours a little bit. Win-win. WordPress wins, you win.
There are three wins here. The person, that student who came right out of the college. Usually in college, people have some negative perception about professional life, that companies are evil, you are going to do labor, somebody will steal your credit. And here they, on their own, like they go into the WordPress community on their own, they sign a patch with their name, they file a track ticket with their name, they get props in their name, they get treated very well by contributor. If somebody makes mistakes, the WordPress community is full of nice people. Nobody's going to pull them down. Nobody's going to shout at them. Everybody corrects them with respect and compassion. And that helps them grow as a person. Like they become better human. They become better coder. And that empathy, we see that when they become senior engineers and when they're reviewing some junior's code, they remember that, hey, it was my first day in WordPress community and I made that patch. I made one mistake, but somebody was nice to me. So I have to pass it on. So that niceness cycle continues. And the biggest winner is that these people, like, who has an incredible job satisfaction, they love open source more. Many of them don't join for the love of open source. They're at a point when they join RTKM, they're at a point when their college is ending. They just want to get a job and secure a financial life. Whatever jobs comes their way, they're okay with it. Open source, closed source, not much preference. But once they're in, and then we take them through this 1 year of tour, like 6 months in training center, then 6 months in WordPress community, they become the advocate of open source for life. And that is a very most important win for us, because We want people to believe in open source. We don't want them to say open source is good because their company is selling it. We want them to have that faith that open source is the right way to do things. And that faith is very important for growth. You cannot mug up your mission statement and stand for it. You have to believe in something to stand for it.
What a profoundly interesting thing to have said. I think that's just fabulous. I think your company is doing so many interesting things. It's obviously financially it's working out, but just the position that you've painted there of the way that you're treating your employees and the autonomy that you're giving them and the future opportunities that you're giving them and the training opportunities that you're giving them, just remarkable. And I'm profoundly impressed by what you've been doing. Unfortunately, time is our enemy. We're going to have to call it a day there. Rahul, thank you so much for chatting to me today. That has been an incredible journey. Long may it continue. I wish you and RTCAM all the success that you can possibly have in the future.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks for having me on this podcast.